What's up, Richmond? MP on the mic. 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM worldwide on the free Odyssey app. Thursday morning. Welcome aboard. A lot of ground to cover. Good to be back with you after a couple days off. And that was actually, everybody's like, oh, you took off because of the snow. No, we called the shot on Monday's show. I said, I'm going to be out the next 2 days. It was pre-planned. Just happened to work out really well because the kids were out of school and the children are being educated again. The kids are going to be all right. And we're back at it in here, and a lot to get to. Since we last talked to you, Notre Dame rattling its saber about the college football playoff. Michigan news last night. My goodness, what will happen at Michigan? Also, you better believe we're going to be talking about Jaden Daniels, his short-term future, his long-term future, and where he stands coming into a final stretch here where I'm not sure everybody's on the same page right now, and we'll get into that extensively throughout the show. By the way, I am Team EB here from the Junkies, who you heard before us. If he can play, he needs to play. And I thought it was ridiculous when people were saying that before last week. Now, after last week, I get why people are saying, hey, I got to get him out of there. You can't let him play in football games. I think he's got to play in football games. Now, last week, Minnesota, he clearly was not able to protect himself in the way he needed to be. So that's a medical clearance issue. But I wonder if there's not friction internally as well, because you've got a lot of people with different goals here. You've got Adam Peters building a roster. You've got Dan Quinn, who needs a win badly. We went over this on Monday. The moral victory against the Broncos doesn't count. It made everybody feel good. And if they'd gotten the real win after, it would have counted for something. But it's just part of a losing streak right now. You've got the DC fan base, and I'm preaching to the choir here, but a lot of y'all know this. There's a history here. And I'm not just talking about RG3. I'm talking about Steven Strasburg. I mean, this is a city that's gone through this a lot of times with a lot of different players. And as much as we want to ignore the success that Bo Nix is having, the success that Drake May is having, and the success that Caleb Williams is having, those are part of it right now. Last year was the victory lap. We got the right guy. Nobody else got a good guy. We got the right guy. Now the other guys are catching up. They took steps forward in year two. What does it mean? Doesn't mean anything. When we get to Bud Light Big Game Week, when we get to San Francisco in about a month and a half, it doesn't mean anything. We're throwing it all out the window. It'll be year three. Jaden will have had one good year. Caleb will have had one good year. Bo Nix will have had one good year. And not a great year at that, by the way. Drake May will have had one good year. Everybody will have had one good year. What do you do in year three? This isn't something that's going to get resolved overnight. But from an Adam Peters perspective, keep in mind, we hear from Dan Quinn so often that I think we think Dan Quinn is the most powerful person in the building because he's the person we hear from on the things that matter. He's not. They very deliberately and wisely set this up so that Adam Peters, the general manager, is the most powerful person in the building. He came first. He helped hire Dan Quinn. Everything runs through him. And we don't get to hear from him until after the season's over. And I don't know that we'll ever get to hear from him on how he feels about Jaden because he'll say that's the coach's decision. I don't think it is, totally. I think he's probably in the room weighing in as well. And he sees a team and a unit that needs some serious rebuilding this season. That's going to fall on his shoulders. You know, we talk a lot about Dan Quinn. We talk a lot about Cliff Kingsbury around here. And those are legitimate topics and their future is a legitimate topic. We don't talk as much about Adam Peters, but he's in the spotlight. Once the last game finishes, he's in the spotlight. And you have dueling perspectives here. And losing makes everybody turn on each other. Everybody knows that. Losing makes everybody turn on each other. You've got Dan Quinn, who DQ feels like, man, you gave me some rotten groceries to cook with here on defense. I didn't get a good enough roster. I think that your Adam Peters perspective would be, I gave you a great offensive line. I gave you skill players. I drafted you a good running back in the seventh round. You couldn't make any of it work. Maybe I'm a little miffed too. I think everybody's got reason to be miffed after a season like this. I continue to believe Jaden Daniels should play football if he's able to play football, if he's medically cleared to play football. And I don't know if he should have been or not. Rewatching it, that was a garden variety hit that was delivered on the interception. He fell. He landed on his left elbow. He was in a lot of pain. That had nothing to do with him playing football or throwing, so it's not a long-term concern. But should he have been out there? I think it's a fair question, and I'd love to see him maybe take control hits in practice before he gets cleared again, because that didn't feel aggressive. It was not penalized, nor should it have been penalized. That felt like a hit he should have been able to take to be medically cleared to play football. And when he played, we saw a lot of the same stuff and a lot of the same issues, which is concerning because he was so good at learning, at growing, at adjusting. I think he's fixated more on the injury than he is on the football. And that's a bad place to be if you're a football player. I'll tell you my thought, which is I think he's going to play one more time this season. I think it's going to be on Christmas against the Cowboys. That's just, I don't, no inside info, not reporting anything, but they're holding him out this week. If you play him against the Eagles on the Saturday, then you got to make him play on the short week against Dallas, and also the Eagles' defense is stupid good. And it, you know, no matter what's happening to them right now, that defense is incredible. If he gets hurt in that game, oh man, the conversation would be unbearable. If he doesn't get hurt in that game, he's still got to go out short week, cold games, get ready. That's not great. That's not ideal. But you could start practicing him now for the Dallas game. Look, it's all about outside perception here. It's all about outside perception. The outside perception is this is a team that's really struggling and has lost its way. How do you fix that? On national TV, on Christmas Day, beating the Cowboys with Jaden Daniels. If you could get that win, you could quiet the room for a couple weeks, and then the season's over, and we'll get excited about the draft. I think that's the game you want him in, and that's the game you want him playing well in. And then after that, you're just winding down the season, and nobody gets mad at anybody for not playing in Week 18 anymore in the NFL. We'll dive into all that. Big show for you today. I could not be more excited. Gary Hess is coming by, live and in person. The guy. We have not seen Gary Hess in person in months.
Been way too long.
More than weeks. More than weeks. I think it's been months.
He injured
his leg, has not been on the call for high school football this year. He's back. He's on the call Saturday. Verina. Look, I'm not in the business of jinxing people, but it sure feels like they're going to lift a state championship trophy on Saturday morning right here on The Fan. 11 o'clock pregame, 11:30 kickoff on Saturday. Verina football here on The Fan. We got two teams playing for state titles. Highland Springs will play at 5 against Maury. That will be a tougher test. Not unwinnable, but a tougher test. Gary be back on the call. Be super excited to spend some time with him. Parney drops by to make his picks from Alabama. We'll have Parney.
My goodness.
Later in today's show. And of course, we have Lane Casadante. Big day for Lane, who will drop by at 10:30. Lane will be hosting the Dudley Awards tonight. That is the award. That's the Heisman for Virginia football, given every year to the best football player in the state of Virginia.
Very cool.
Prestigious thing. The Dudley, back in the day, Megan, I worked at a place called The Newspaper. And
so I think I'm somewhat familiar with those.
It's come up from time to time.
From time to time.
We gave out the Dudley, and it lived in my office, basically. The Dudley just sat there all year until we went and gave it to the person, had it engraved, and
cool.
They got like a replica, and we kept the real one in a public display case for people to come see. Lane is giving it out tonight. He is, of course, knows everything about everything, so he's the perfect person to carry on that tradition. But we've got a really exciting race, I think, for the Dudley Award between JMU and UVA, two teams that had great college football seasons this year, some great players on those teams. No, I don't think there's a Tech player, and there is no Tech player who's a finalist, but no Tech player worthy this year, which is very, very surprising. That was, of course, a Virginia Tech award for a long time. It's not anymore. It's a wide-open field, and I'm excited to handicap it with Lane, who will be giving it out tonight on CBS 6. So that'll be worth your time. That'll be worth your record on your TiVo or your YouTube, or just watch it live, like you listen to us live as you drive around town. Great to be back with you Thursday morning here on The Fan. Oh, yeah, Radiothon. I knew there was something I didn't say. Megan was at Radiothon this morning. It's for the Children's Hospital. We'll tell you about that on the other side, all the good work happening down there. What time were you down there?
Oh, 5 a.m.
What time do you wake up to get down there? You don't live near there.
4:30.
I love that. I love that so much. That touches my heart.
Yes.
It's me when I have an early flight. What time's your flight, MP? It's at 6 o'clock. What time you gotta wake up? I don't know. 5:15.
Yeah, to get as much sleep as possible. Was I running a few minutes late? Maybe we're not gonna talk about it. But I try to get as much sleep as possible.
I love hearing it because so many people, like Gary, who's a consummate professional, wakes up at Wicker. Rebecca Wild, like, what time's your show? Show starts at 6. We got to be in here at 5 prepping. I got to wake up at 4, do my morning routine. Not for me.
And, you know, I'm big into my morning routine and my night routine and everything. But if I have an early morning like that and I have to be up at such an ungodly hour, throw on the moisturizer, run out the door.
Boom. I don't even do the moisturizer. It's good to be a dude. Dudes rock. All right. VCU basketball, tough loss last night. I want to dive into that as well. We'll hear Coach Phil Martelli's post-game thoughts. We'll crosstalk with AWOD. We'll have ourselves a Thursday. We're back after this. You're listening to 910 The Fan, now 105.1 FM. Yeah, be on the mic, 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM, worldwide on the free Odyssey app, a site for sore eyes here. I love it. I've got the two people in the whole building who use the elevator in the studio with me right now. Megan's producing. Gary Hess is here. Hi, Gary.
How you doing, man?
Fantastic, now that I'm seeing you.
It is nice to be able to get out and about a little bit. You know, people laugh at Linda and I all the time because we like being at home.
Yeah.
I was like, we spent years creating our home to be a place I like to be. It doesn't mean I want to be there 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, for weeks on end. So it's nice to be out and about.
I was so, so excited when I saw you're back on the call. So Gary's been out for a few weeks. Mobility issues here. But you're mobile. You're here. And you're on the call for the state title game. What a return.
Two things. Number one, my mobility has improved greatly.
I see.
It's still got a ways to go. But we get to state championship games. They're played in college stadiums, and those have elevators to the press box.
There we go.
And so and that's a beautiful thing.
You're not going to be in Verina anytime soon.
No. Well, the funny thing is, I think I could get up the steps. Down the steps is the real, like, death trap for me.
Yeah.
So, like, I get up there. It's like, okay, what do I do now? But, you know, here's the thing. I wasn't going to miss a state championship game unless I absolutely had to.
And one where the odds feel pretty good for our team.
That's right. I think Verina is clearly the favorite here. Yeah. I think they're clearly the favorite. And, you know, talking to both coaches, it's interesting because Loudoun County has never won a regional championship, much less been to a state championship game. So they're in uncharted waters. And, you know, it's like, I was like, is that a blessing or is that a curse? I mean, you know what I'm saying?
You don't know what you don't know?
And that's word for word what I said to the guy. I said, you don't know what you don't know. And so, but having said that, I think the greater thing is Verina, as what I feel to be the more talented team, was on that stage last year and lost. And so the unfinished business card, you know, a lot of guys are on that team that were on it last year. They're not gonna let that happen again.
It's hard to catch a team snoozing in the state title game.
100%.
That's a tough one.
100%.
Tough one to overlook.
Yeah. So I think the Blue Devils are in great shape. The other thing is, you know, with my professional body clock, the 11:30 kick was much more attractive to me than the 5 p.m. kick at Harrisonburg.
I love an 11:30 kick. Home for dinner.
Great. Yeah.
Home for dinner with a state title for Verina. Perhaps, depending on how things go.
Hoist the trophy, do a couple of live hits with the coaches afterwards downstairs. And, so it's, we're looking forward to it. If they were a little, I swear to you, if Lynchburg and Harrisonburg were just a little closer together, we might try to tackle doing both of them.
When's Highland Springs play?
5 o'clock.
Against Maury.
Yes.
And they're not the favorites in that game.
No, they're not.
But they're in the state title game in a year.
Having said
where
that.
Where they had to grind their way there.
Having said that, I'll say a couple things about that game. Maury is not what they've been the last 2 years, but they're still really good. I mean, they have 6 players from last year's team that are now in Power 4 programs.
That's pretty good.
So, 6. And so, but we saw them early in the season against Verina. Verina lost by 1 point. I think it was 14-13. And, you know, and they were gettable. The other thing I'll say is, you know, Highland Springs did not look state championship caliber when I personally saw them in September. I think that, and we're talking about a coach here with 5 state championships in his pocket. I think this is maybe the best coaching job Lauren Johnson's ever done. That team has come so far. And they took an Indian River team that's pretty darn good and dismantled them last week. And so is Maury the favorite? Yes. Does Highland Springs have a chance? Yes.
What a story that would be. So many needed, you know, a late play to beat Hanover, snuck by Glenn Allen, and now turning on the Jets at the right time.
Yes, indeed. And, you know, the other thing I thought was very interesting, they had the rematch with Hermitage, and the first time around it was 31-28, second time 21-13. Coach Simmons, who Lauren Johnson just leaves alone, it's his defense, you do your thing. First time they gave up 28, second time less than half that. That was not by accident.
No.
Give him a second shot at a team, he's going to shut him down. So, yeah, there's a lot to like about this Highland Springs team. It's going to be compelling, but, you know, the Springers are going to have to make some things happen in order to win. You know, Stonebridge was considered a really viable opponent for Maury last week, and Maury went up there and just absolutely took him apart. So, it'll be interesting to see. One other note, 804 peripheral, Rappahannock.
Okay.
Who stunned Essex in Class 1 in the regional final. First regional championship since 1992.
How about that?
And now playing a school from Southwest Virginia called Rye Cove for the state championship in Class 1.
Is Rappahannock's mascot the oyster?
I don't know so many, but I don't know this. You know what Loudoun County's is?
No.
Verina's opponent? The Captains.
The Captains.
I would root for them in another circumstance.
Yeah.
But not this circumstance.
Your Captains didn't quite, it wasn't quite there in the playoffs.
Well, you know, the thing of it is, I will tell you, you know, they beat Susquehanna during the regular season, 41-27. I was at that game. In fact, that was the day I got hurt.
That's right. Oh, yeah.
I was at that game. Here's the thing, Michael. Susquehanna was ranked number 4 in the country coming into that.
Okay.
And they were, you know, they didn't stop being good. CNU just had a great day. And so when I saw that Susquehanna was at 1 and was going to come back to Newport News, I suspected they were going to have a problem.
The revenge card.
Yes.
Verina will play it for good.
Yeah.
So it was,
you know, we had CNU and Randolph-Macon in D3, and they both got dispatched in their first game, the second round. So
They've had so much success over the last few years. It's great to be talking about a first round bye and then the exit as a disappointing season.
Right. And for CNU, it would have been nice, but, you know, they went 10-0.
Yeah.
They had a great year.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about it. This is the end for Parker. You know, he's graduating this coming Monday. So we had 5 years of CNU football. My favorite memory was when they made the playoffs and played at Macon. And huge CNU thing contingent turned out, and the place was just packed. And we had a lot of fun. We went and tailgated, did the whole thing. And I enjoy, you know, as someone, you will appreciate this, someone who's spent so many years working with the media and, you know, being unbiased,
sure,
being in the press box, to put on the colors and tailgate and just sit in the stands and cheer for your team. It's a nice switch. And so we've really enjoyed that over the last 5 years.
Have a beverage, watch some football.
Absolutely.
We love football.
That's called win-win.
Gary Hess is here. He's going to be on the call. He's back Saturday, 11 a.m., 11:40 WRV.
No, right here.
Oh, on the fan.
No,
sorry.
Yeah, the Big River Rivalry a week from Saturday is going to be on 11:40.
Thank you. I'm getting ahead of myself. I was just thinking about how funny it is. We so many storylines this season and Huguenots' emergence and you know, Dinwiddie rebounding and all these great stories across here. Petersburg's back, and here we are on the final week of the season.
East End football.
And it's the two East End teams playing for state titles.
Same as ever was.
Could hit, but we now skip ahead to further action.
Wow, that's before your time.
Just barely.
The old
yeah.
Notre Dame highlights reference, man. That's good. There was an exchange of punts, and we moved to further action. Sunday mornings in my childhood, man.
Yeah.
Notre Dame football highlights. I love it.
It's great to have you back. And so, yeah, 9:10 The Fan, 11 a.m. Saturday.
Yep, 11:30 kick. Yep. We'll be in Lynchburg, Verina, and Loudoun County. And at halftime, you'll hear a portion of our interview Tuesday night with Highland Springs coach Lauren Johnson previewing the 5 o'clock kick with Mooring.
Which makes sense. And we'll keep tabs on that one as well. And we'll see you next week talking about, I think we both love this event, Big River Rivalry, which is the All-Star Game for charity.
Yes, indeed. And this year benefiting Feed More. And what can be better than putting food on people's tables who need it at Christmas time?
Yeah, so, nothing better than that.
Yeah, so great thing the Touchdown Clause does. Thousands of dollars have been donated to local charities. This year it's Feed More, and it's usually pretty fun, too. Last year's game went to overtime, came down to a two-point conversion try. So, it's a lot of fun. If things are getting, you know how it is. All-star games, there's like, oh, this is fun, till it gets to the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
It's close. Hey, we may as well win this thing.
Yeah, close game. Wait a second.
We may as well win.
Came all this way.
Exactly.
Gary Hess, so great to see you.
You too, man.
See you next week.
Yep.
Good luck Saturday. All right, we're back after this. You're listening to 910
The Fan, 105.1 FM.
Very exciting day here at The Fan. 11 o'clock, Gary Hess drops by. We have not seen Gary Hess in months. He had a leg injury. He's been doing radio from home. He's not only back, he'll be on the call Saturday, 11:30 a.m., 11 o'clock pregame here on The Fan as Highland Springs, Verina, goes for a state title, Highland Springs, at 5 p.m. So excited to see him. Always excited to chat with Lane Casadante on Thursdays, more so today, because tonight at 7:45, Lane's going to be giving out the Dudley and Lanier Awards. So Lane Casadante, CBS 6. Good morning. How's it going?
Hey, good morning, MP. Little known fact about Gary Hess's leg injury, it came from one too many Hulk Hogan leg drops on Gary Criswell. Not that Criswell didn't deserve each and every one of them, but this is a hazard of our business.
# stay with coach.
Yes.
I'm just picturing them in the booth just throwing down over a third down decision and the pile driver, the full Nelson, all of it. It's tough up there. Got to be tough to call high school football. Lane, tell us about the Dudleys, the Laniers, and tonight's program.
Our three finalists for this year's Dudley are Alonzo Barnett from JMU, who was a finalist last year as well. And, I mean, you could really pick, you know, a couple of different players from that JMU team for the season that they've had and what they have done there. Wayne Knight has had a fantastic year. They've got a couple of players on defense that have just been lights out. Jamari Taylor, and everybody who follows UVA knows his story, the former walk-on at NC Central, who led the ACC in rushing yards and rushing touchdowns this year and got them, you know, within a couple of minutes of an ACC championship. And then the third one is Colton Joseph, the quarterback from Old Dominion, who had, in their own right, had a fantastic season. And he was, I believe, fourth in the nation in rushing yards by a quarterback this year. And kind of quiet, if you think of if you're not following Old Dominion football, you'd be like, really? That kid rushed? He had, I think, over 2,500 yards passing and over 1,000 yards rushing. And there are many players around the country that have done that this year.
Jamari Taylor didn't have a 1,000-yard season as a running back, and Colton Joseph did as a quarterback. Very impressive, not to diminish Jamari Taylor, who's, of course, an integral part of one of UVA's best seasons of all time on the gridiron. So this is the Dudley Award Best College Football Player in the state of Virginia, the great Commonwealth of Virginia, as people here remind me all the time. And so tonight, 7:45, CBS 6, you'll announce the winner live. Is that correct?
Plausibly live. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, of course.
the way our system works with our 7:30 show, we are actually taping it in the afternoon.
All right.
But it's only because of the way the system works with our 7:30 show. But it will air at 7:45 tonight. Yes.
My listeners get that on Mondays as well. And everybody seems to still enjoy that we get the program. So all's well that ends well. And the Lanier Award is the award for the best small college player in the state of Virginia. That's D2, D3, NAIA. Am I missing one there?
I think that gets them all in
that
there.
That gets them all. Curtis Allen from Virginia Union. What's wild, I'll pause out there, because with Jada Byers, it's like, man, nobody's ever going to put up those numbers. And then somebody shows up and puts up better numbers the very next year.
Yeah, and that's also a testament. It's a testament to what Jada and Curtis have both done individually, but it's also a testament to what head coach Alvin Parker has done there with that offense and that offensive line and the belief that you can still run the ball in the college game or in football at any level, and you don't have to throw it 45 times to be successful. So, that does my heart some good too, is that you coaches always say we have to be able to run the ball, and some of them actually still preach it, believe it, and make it work.
Yeah, Connor Berry is the other finalist from Christopher Newport, and can you say Daniel's last name for me from Randolph-Macon? I'm a writer,
Eliasek.
Eliasek. Daniel Eliasek from Randolph-Macon, who is the ODAC Defensive Player of the Year. So that's always a great broadcast. Always fun to hear those stories, and of course, paying homage to two of the greats, Bullet Bill Dudley and Willie Lanier. Should be a ton of fun tonight. Otherwise, how's it going, Lane?
I know. At some point, this amusement park ride has got to slow down a little bit, right? But it really doesn't end, especially. With the new, I know you guys have probably mentioned it this morning, with Sherrone Moore.
My goodness.
With that dropping last night. And, you know, all of a sudden, Lane Kiffin who? Notre Dame what? We have completely turned the page on the controversies of yesterday, and now there's a new thing staring us right in the face. It just never, ever ends.
Until Kiffin takes the Michigan job, of course, and then he's right back.
Until he switches. Well, but now you're also wondering, like, all these guys, who was hired at Penn State? Matt?
From Iowa State, yeah.
He just got hired, and you know, and I hate to say
Matt Campbell,
Matt Campbell. I don't mean this, you know, as a slight against Virginia Tech or anything.
No.
But what is James Franklin thinking?
It's like, they didn't know Michigan was coming open. Yeah.
I mean, he's, you know, he's going to do really, really well at Virginia Tech. He already has done well there, and recruiting has never been the problem with him. So he's handled that part of the job already. He's done well right there. What I also wonder is how many of these coaches, because coaches talk, I mean, they're gossips just like everybody else. They all know each other. It's a very tight-knit fraternity. How many guys knew what Sherrone Moore was doing?
Mm-hmm.
I gotta believe probably, you know, somebody outside of Michigan was like, hey, he better be careful, or, you know, this could blow up. This could not end well for him. And I'm just wondering how many people saw that and said, yep, we saw that coming. We knew about that. There had to be people that knew about it. And it's just really, really stunning that this stuff happens that quickly.
And he's in jail. Like, he's literally in jail right now, according to the Associated Press. Like, that's the insane part of it. Guys get fired. Guys cheat. Guys cheat on other people sometimes. We don't condone it, but it happens. He's in jail right now, Lane. It's an insane story.
Yeah, and there's far more to it than, you know, and everybody can say, I bet he did this, or I'm guessing it's that. There's going to be details about this that are going to make everybody just really shake their heads if the initial shock of him just being fired wasn't enough.
He is from Derby, Kansas, which is about a half hour from where I grew up in Mays, Kansas, both in suburban Wichita. So there you go. All roads back to Wichita, Kansas, Lane, as always.
That's what I'm told. I've been told that before. I never believed it, but now I do.
Classic saying. VCU last night. That was... That was a tough loss because we all know how small the margin for error is and how all of the, you know, a home loss to a team that's not, unfortunately, at the top of the Mountain West is going to get criticized in March. Now, also, they had chances. They had three chances to tie the game, and I would argue squandered all three of those possessions. But tough to be in the spot where you have to be perfect, and tough to wake up the next morning with the realization that that may have been a really costly loss.
That was I have never seen a VCU team going back. I've been covering the team for 30 years. I don't think I've, especially in the Siegel Center, I've never seen them have three shot clock violations in their own gym. And that just tells you that the offense isn't clicking. Phil Martelli Jr. admitted as much last night. They just looked disjointed. There were too many the official box score only has them with 12 turnovers, and I don't know how the number is that low because It seemed like there were so many more than that. But I know the last, you know, let's say 2 minutes of that game will get the biggest magnifying glass because, to your point, they did have, you know, all those chances to tie or take the lead. But they just did not look together on offense, and they have played that way at times this year. There are times when they look fantastic, and when they look in sync, and when they're going up and down the court, and they get things, you know, they're making shots, and last night was just wasn't it. Now, and you want to give New Mexico a little bit of credit. You know, what did they do? How did they get you out of what you were trying to do, or is this, you know, more the case of you guys really having to get on all the same page? And it's never one thing, and it's always a combination of multiple things. But I haven't seen that with a shot clock violation since the Siegel Center opened 26, 27 years ago. That is not supposed to happen in your own gym.
No, very surprising. And part of it was, you know, at the start of the season, people were saying, who's going to be the guy to take the shot? And I was kind of dismissive of that. I said, it'll work itself out. It kind of didn't work itself out. Brandon Jennings didn't get a look. Nick Lewis, I think, could be the guy, but had some turnovers. And Lazar Djokovic, who has had great games so far, that wasn't the shot they were looking for on the final possession. I think there's, you know, Jadrian Tracy's got a case to be the guy. He didn't get a look as the guy. I think we're still waiting to find out who's going to be the guy who steps up in crunch time.
And Coach Martelli said earlier in the week that because of the defense that New Mexico State plays, hitting three-pointers was going to be a key for them because in the paint, the Lobos were very good. Well, I think they shot 27% from behind the arc last night, which isn't good against anybody, but against a team that is really going to force you into that you can't have that. And Djokovic's shot just wasn't falling last night. Sometimes it happens. It shouldn't preclude him from trying to go out and do it again the very next night. But the other thing that Martelli mentioned, and it was noticeable last night, Terrence Hill Jr. has had a couple of fantastic games already this year. Now he's getting scouted. Now they know what he is capable of. And Martelli said they were picking him up 35 feet from the basket last night because they said, you're not going to beat us. And I think he finished with maybe 9 points and only played 16 minutes. So that is going to be an adjustment they're going to have to make to get Terrence back to the level that they've seen, that they know he can get to, and he already has in a couple of games. But teams notice him now, and he's going to be a focus for opposing defenses.
Man, a lot to sort out. They got a few games here to do it in before we get to New Year's Eve. St. Bonnie's comes, and they're got to have them games at that point. All right, Lane Casadante, thank you for taking a few minutes with us. I went to overtime with Lane, but we appreciate it. Tonight, Dudley's, 7:45. Do you be on the roster tonight as well?
No. Tonight we will just recap Dudley night. The Dudley's, and it's Dudley night. Yes, it gets the night all to its own.
As it should. Well, good luck with that. We'll be watching, and always great to chat with you.
All right, Mike. Thanks for having me. Have a great weekend, everyone.
There we go. Dudley's 7:45 tonight, CBS 6. Locally, we're back after this. You're listening to 910 The Fan, now 105.1 FM. It'd be the Mike, 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM. We're worldwide on the free Odyssey app. Always, always, always. No matter if we're on, if somebody else is on. We're getting into the holiday season. We're not on every day. That happens. I mean, we'll be on every day between now and I think the 22nd is the last regularly scheduled day. I don't know. We'll figure it out as we get closer. But we got Commanders football on Christmas. Whether you want it or not, here it comes, America. It's coming at you on the Fan Christmas Day against the Cowboys. It feels good to beat the Cowboys on Christmas Day. It'd be a nice palate cleanser after this year we've all been through. Last night, tough loss for the VCU Rams, who I agree with Lane Castagnetti's assessment there, looked out of sync offensively. Need a primetime player to step up, and I'm sure Awad and I will talk about that. And I was disappointed. I thought Nick Lewis could have been that guy, should have been that guy. Didn't happen. Lazar Jokovic, who I think is a great player, took a really bad shot down the stretch. Brandon Jennings went invisible. I had Nixon just yelling, "Hey, get it to Brandon Jennings, he's your guy." They were ignoring that. I think Jadrian Tracy's got it in him. 0-for-3 behind the arc last night. It's a weird situation. Look, Phil Martelli cast a lot of blame on himself and his team and what they did. And also, this is him with Robbie last night, and we're going to play about a minute and a half of the interview with Robbie. I didn't love the amount of, hey, shots just weren't falling that we got in this interview, because I do think it was systemic, and they've lost a lot of close games this year. And this is, you know, the more close games you lose, the less likely it is you're unlucky. That's the reality of the situation. So let's play the interview, then we'll react to it. This is Phil Martelli last night with Robbie and Rodney on the Fan.
I always hate when it comes down to, like, makes and misses, but they made some shots that we missed, some shots that, you know, you'd like to have back, and you think, all right, well, if we get that shot again, you know, we would make it. And you know, I thought that happened. We didn't have our edge coming out of halftime. I don't know why. I'll rack my brain on that. You know, it felt like we were.
You're talking about just, you know, them being able to make plays down the stretch, and us just being like that one play short.
Yeah, I mean, it, you know, but spotting them that early early run in the second half, like. Yeah. You know, obviously we made our run back, and, you know, credit to those guys for fighting to get back in the game. But, yeah, I mean, it's, you know, sometimes it is that, right? Like, they make a shot, we miss a shot. They make a shot, we miss a shot, and you end up in a three-possession game or a three-point game.
You know, and also I think they had a little bit more fortune down the stretch. Had a guy that's hit 2 3-pointers, knocked one down. Asbury's only hit 5. He knocked one down. You know, the kicked ball or the scramble that ends up in Hall's hands, and he hits that. And kind of when you look at the anatomy of taking a tough loss, sometimes that's part of it too, just not being able to capitalize on that stuff.
Yeah, I mean, you know, again, like, sometimes the ball bounces left when you want it to bounce right.
Right.
And, you know, but you also have to make your fortune with that sometimes, right? And, mm-hmm. and again, like, you know, we got to come out of the half the right way. Like, you know, finish the half the right way. We let them get open for a three at the end of the half. That, again, they don't get that. You know, then maybe they don't have some momentum going into the second half. You know, and then they carried that, and we did not do a good job with it.
That's Phil Martelli Jr. He's the coach of the VCU Rams. They lost last night to New Mexico, 81-78. This was a one-possession game for the final minute, and they got chances, man. They had 3 chances to tie the game. And he referenced the runs. The lead changed 10 times in this basketball game. It went back and forth. And New Mexico had a great run in the second half, coming out of halftime. VCU wasn't ready for that. They counterpunched, couldn't get it all the way back, though. And then down the stretch, couldn't make those opportunities when they needed to create a good shot. They were unable to on 3 consecutive plays. Now, one of them, Nick Lewis, it appeared slipped. And I'll be honest, I was watching on the bootleg broadcast, so I didn't have the coach's clicker. We'll go back and look, but it looked like Nick Lewis slipped on a pass on one of them. I got 0 issues with trying to get the ball to Nick Lewis. I think he's an outstanding player. I love letting a freshman cook. They don't know what they don't know, to quote Gary Hess. And I think he's going to be special. He slipped. Nothing you could do about that. The Lazar Jokovic shot, that was a bad shot. He clearly calling his own number there. Too far from the basket. Couldn't get inside enough. Needed to give it up. It was 8 seconds. And that's part of college basketball's learning. how long 8 seconds is. It's a long time. 8 seconds is enough time to get a couple passes, get another look. Ed Nix is yelling, get it to Brandon Jennings. I don't know if that was the intent on the play where the ball went flying out of bounds. We'll never know. Ball went flying out of bounds. The turnovers, particularly in crunch time, tough for these guys. Also, look, sometimes you don't have to overthink it. This is a team that likes to play at a fast pace, that likes to put up a lot of shots. They made 27% of their three-point shots last night. That's not good enough. It's not going to be good enough. At home, at the Siegel Center, against a team that, while they're definitely playing well, it's a team you should be able to shoot well against. A concerning loss, and it was a really good college basketball game, and that's why I hate doing hot take radio today, because that was a great college basketball game. It was fun. It was exciting. It was two named teams who we've seen in the tournament recently. It was a rematch from last year. New Mexico team is finding itself. And yet, what do we know about the state of college sports, aside from what's happening at Michigan? We know the margin for error is pretty close to zero for these guys, and now is at zero, if not, the gas light's on. I don't know if the car's out of gas or not. We may be able to coast into the bracket with the light on, the gauge at empty. I don't like having to find that out, though. I don't like being in the position where you have to defend this team and what it's done against a bad shooting night at home on December 10th when we get to March, when we get to the brackets. And they'll have opportunities to fix it between now and then, but this is an offense that they're going to need to look under the hood. They're going to need to take a pretty extensive look under the hood over the next little while, because that's a concerning loss, not just losing to New Mexico. I think that part's going to be overblown. It's a concerning loss because the offense looked disjointed. And the players who you want to step up and be the guy, Jadrian Tracy, Bam Tracy, 3 of 9. Brandon Jennings, 2 of 8. Lazar Djokovic, 4 of 12. Nick Lewis, the best of the bunch, at 5 of 11 from the field, which just isn't good enough to win these games. And I'm not going to sit here and disparage New Mexico. It's a good basketball team. They're on the rise. We're all New Mexico fans. We're all Lobos fans starting today, obviously, as you root for their net. But it's disappointing. It's a missed opportunity for VCU and the A-10. I'm sure we'll cross-talk with AWOT about that. He was at the game. I was getting back into town last night. I watched on the bootleg feed. I'll say this. I don't know if I should say that on the radio. Should I say on the radio I was watching on the bootleg feed? I did. So I can't unsay it. We're past the 7 second delay. Unexpected nice thing about sports betting. It used to be on the bootleg feed, all the ads were for porn, which I find distasteful. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Now all the ads are for sports betting, which. Sure, it's distasteful in its own way, but at least is easier. Like, I'm inundated with that 24/7. I'm Teflon on that.
Why can't we get better ads?
I think we need to get a better audience before we get better. What we need is for a really good Wednesday night December basketball game to be on real TV.
Yeah.
And not on all the, all these streaming. I'm not buying 100 streaming services. Mm-mm. If somebody wants to, I pay YouTube TV. Was $80 a month?
That's a lot.
I want to see everything.
Yeah.
I will pay somebody $100 a month, and I want to see everything.
Yeah.
I don't think I'm asking too much.
You're not.
I'm willing to pay you a lot of American dollars, but I don't want to wade through everything.
Yeah.
Oh, well, tonight's game is on. Well, no. Mm-mm. I want somebody to bring it all into one place.
Mm-hmm.
Charge my credit card.
Yeah.
Have my money. I work hard for my money. I don't need to work hard to watch the game too.
That's what I see all over TikTok. People are just like, stop the microtransaction. Transactions. Again, up since 4:30 in the morning. So you don't come at me here. But stop the microtransactions. You can't pay everyone.
Give the money to Radiothon instead.
Yes.
The Children's Hospital.
Yeah.
It's Radiothon Day. Megan's getting back out there to the Children's Hospital. She was there at 5 a.m. They do phenomenal work in the community. VCU Health, the Children's Hospital, Radiothon rolls on all day today on Mix 98. Yeah. Listen up. Some great storytelling. You'll be moved to tears every year. And of course, Christmas music in the middle of all of it. That's yep. That's a, what a positive note to end this segment on. Thank you.
I know, it is. You're welcome.
Thank you, Megan.
Instead of donating it to the streaming service.
What a stupid loss last night. We're back after this with Gary Hess. I'm excited to see Gary. He's back after this. You're listening to 910 The Fan at 105.1 FM. Flip you the mic, 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM worldwide on the free Odyssey app. Having ourselves a lovely Thursday. I'm just making a scene. Don't worry about
what
me.
What just happened over there?
I was lowering my seat. Okay. My seat was too high.
I saw you bouncing around and I was like, should I turn the mic off? Like, it picks up on every chair movement. And
I was told these are state-of-the-art microphones. Clifford told me that. I think.
Yeah.
Somebody told me that at some point along the way.
Yeah.
All right. I can't be rattling you, though. You've had a long day already.
Today. I have.
All
I
right.
Have.
Take me through your day here.
Wake up at 4:30 in the morning. Lazy around in bed for 5 minutes when I should be getting ready.
Yeah.
My skincare routine and rush down the road without getting caught by a cop. Then I get here and I had the radiothon. So radiothon over at Mix 98.1.
All right, today's the radiothon.
It is.
Tell us what the radiothon is.
So it's benefiting the Children's Hospital downtown. So we're raising a bunch of money for kids in need. And a lot of people, the interesting thing that they repeat over there is that a lot of people actually don't know about the Children's Hospital, which is a good thing. If you don't ever have to find out about the hospital, that's what they want, right?
Yes.
But the rare case that you might need it, like some freak accident or disease or whatever it is, it's actually just a very welcoming, supportive place. And we raise a bunch of money for it every single year.
All right. Question for you.
Yes.
The radiothon is obviously a play on the term telethon.
Mm-hmm.
Jerry Lewis did a very famous telethon. Do you remember the Jerry Lewis telethon? Or let's just make myself really old here. Do you even know who Jerry Lewis is?
I have no idea who he is. I'll be honest with you. I have no idea anything you're saying right now.
once a year, mm-hmm. the TV station would just not broadcast for the day, and Jerry was a famous actor.
Okay.
And he'd come on and he'd do what you guys do.
Okay.
Share about the cause and the kids and have people call in. It was called the telethon, and you'd get entertainers and famous people to come do skits and bits and raise money and all that. And like that was, it was the original pledge drive.
Okay.
In a lot of ways.
And what year was this?
I'm old. That's all.
I'm just curious. You're gonna have me researching this.
But here's the hook about all this.
Yeah.
Like we didn't have Netflix or like all the channels.
Yeah.
Like it was kind of a captive audience sort of. I don't know if you could get away with doing that now, because now people don't. I mean, you don't watch the Bunny Ears or anything like that.
I do not.
But people still listen to the radio and Mix 98 in huge numbers because it's Christmas season.
They do.
So.
And I mean, even that's like going down because, you have Spotify, Apple Music. I mean,
sure.
The streaming is such a big competition, but we do have a big audience. I mean,
we have
some people asking for Christmas music back in July. They're like, when's it going to start up?
That's a hard no for me.
It's a hard no for me too, but it shows the people that are still there. They still want it. And the interesting thing with the Radiothon too is every hour they have a certain number of people that they're trying to reach. So like the first hour, where they're like, can we at least get someone before 6? That beats our record. 6 o'clock hour, maybe it's like 10 people. 7 o'clock, it's 30 people. And like sometimes the number seems kind of high and I'm like, how are you going to get that many? Like, you've got 10 minutes left and you need 10 more callers, and then they get like 11,
Yeah.
And it's good.
People are listening, which is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's awesome.
So if you're listening, Children's Hospital is, of course, a great cause this time of year.
Yep.
And you're going back.
I am.
All right.
Right after your shift. This is my little break.
Well, thank you for taking a sports break with us. All right. Sports story today. The Virginia Sports Hall of Fame has announced its upcoming class. They're going to induct them in Henrico next year. And they are calling this the best Hall of Fame class they've ever had. Grant Hill, basketball legend. Mm-hmm. Tony, but you can just nod. Tony Bennett, UVA basketball coach.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Boo Williams, who of course has the Boo Williams Sportsplex.
Love that one.
Because of the name Boo?
Yes.
Okay. The original AAU guy. Michael Vick. We've heard of Michael Vick, of course. Wally Walker, UVA. Christy Tolliver, Terry Driscoll, longtime William & Mary AD, Roland Lazenby, reporter, and Bobby Ukrop, of course, of the Ukrops.
I love Bobby Ukrop. Wait.
Phenomenal class in the Virginia Sports Hall of Fame, which will be a lot of fun. They did this in Henrico a couple of years ago. So for a long time, this was in Virginia Beach.
Mm-hmm.
or the Tidewater area, which I always call Virginia Beach, but I'm aware there's more than one locality.
Yeah.
They moved to Henrico a couple years ago. It was a big hit, so they know where the action's at now.
They do.
That's with Dennis Bigmeyer and his crew in Henrico.
I feel like that would be a good spot for that.
Yeah. So question of the day, if you could be in a Hall of Fame, which Hall of Fame would you be in?
Probably I'm just going to go really basic for me, the Songwriters Hall of Fame.
Songwriting Hall of Fame. Is that a real thing?
It is. Oh. It actually is.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure Taylor Swift was inducted into it, like,
she
obviously.
She better
because
be in it.
She had to, from my understanding, if I have the correct one that she was in, she had to submit like 3 of her songs recently for it.
Wait, you have to apply?
Yeah, I guess. I just heard she had to submit. Unless someone nominated her and she submitted those songs or something. I'm not sure how it works.
Well, I hope somebody nominated her. She's Taylor Swift. Yeah.
But it was interesting. It was like she did All Too Well 10-minute version, which is good example.
Great
good example. She did, I think it was, Antihero. She did Antihero because people were kind of surprised by that. And I forgot. The one from Evermore and Folklore. You know this one.
Last Great American Dynasty.
Yes, that one. Yes. She did that one. Another great, great example.
I feel like the body works enough to get her in without needing, why do you make her do the paperwork to get into the Hall of Fame?
Yeah. But it was, to me as a songwriter, it was really interesting seeing what she would choose for that, what she thought was her best work.
Oh, that's fair.
And I pride myself on my songwriting too. I've been writing songs since I was in elementary school, and even though my music, I want to do a pop rock thing, it's also very Taylor inspired, so very acoustic songwriter-y kind of. So that would be a fun one, and I would have so much fun picking out a piece of work to submit, you know?
All right. I'm in the trip planning Hall of Fame.
That'd
be
cool.
This is my skill. Everybody
that's
knows
a thing.
Me for that. No, it's not a thing. Oh. I'm making it a thing.
Okay.
It's a thing effective immediately.
Yeah.
Anytime we travel for Commanders games, I'd always, add on an extra day, go somewhere, see something. I've been to 49 states.
That's cool.
I got one left to go. So I can't be in the Hall of Fame without going 50 for 50. We can't have unfinished business in the hall, obviously.
Okay. You know what? The little sidetrack here,
Bring it.
This
show is
be.
Nothing if not a giant sidetrack, so please bring it.
What there should be a Hall of Fame for, or at least an award or something, there's this guy on TikTok that I've been following along with the journey a little bit, and he just completed his collection of 5,000 copies of Titanic on VHS.
He's got 5,000 copies of Titanic on VHS.
Yes, legit thing. On the break, I'll show you the video.
Why?
I don't know. He just really loves the actor and he loves the movie, I guess.
Leo?
Yes. He really loves Leo. Sorry. Again, I've been up since 4:30 in the morning. But
the number of copies of Titanic you can watch at any given moment. This is a little bit like my koozie thing.
Yeah.
The number of koozies in distribution in the world is like a trillion. You probably got them in cabinets and drawers. The number of koozies you need at any given moment is one. Two if you're double fisting, which we're not encouraging that here on the MPL the Mike Show, but some people do. I feel that way about the Titanic VHS.
Yeah.
The number I need at any given moment is probably one.
One. And it's not on VHS anymore.
So is it hard to find? Is that the deal? Like he's hoarding them? He's saving them for a Titanic apocalypse?
I really don't know. All I know is that he is collecting Titanic on VHS. That's how he says it every single time. And at this point, he's gotten so many copies, he's actually rented a space out to put them on display.
Is it the Titanic VHS Museum? That's the kind of thing I would go to on a trip.
Yeah, I kind of want to go to. Not gonna lie.
I would go to a room just filled with 5,000 copies.
I did love Titanic as a kid. That was one of my favorite movies.
Sure. You're not trying to buy 5,000 of them.
No, definitely not.
I would love to know his mission.
There's
levels here.
Yeah, so I just had to throw that out there.
She's Megan. I'm MP, and we're back after this. You're listening to 910 The Fan, at 105.1
MP on the mic, 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM worldwide on the free Odyssey app.
All right, everybody's everywhere. Normally, Parney's somewhere during our segment. Normally, I'm somewhere during Parney's segment. And today, Parney, welcome. Hi. Megan, our esteemed producer, is coming from the Radiothon. She was at the Children's Hospital in the wee hours of the morning raising money for a great cause in this holiday season, which is awesome. And that's happening over on Mix 98 right now. So support that. But she's taking a few minutes off from that to join us. so that we can pick football games, which is also very important to society.
Incredibly important.
How you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm down here in Montgomery, Alabama, hanging out with the Biscuits, heading back home today. The baseball winter meetings will be over, and my trip down to Montgomery will be over, so I'm going to go into holiday mode when I get home.
Parney holiday mode, and last week we were chatting with you from the undisclosed location, but we can report that all is well in Parney world?
Yeah, so last week we were getting ready to go into medical procedure, but everything went great, and I'm feeling good, and yeah, life is good, brother.
All right, well, you know, that's a great warm-up here before I have to tell people how you did last week. Those are the rules.
No, please don't do that.
You picked the Commanders. That's on you. Only you can own that, Parney. I don't know what compelled you to do that, but you did. You picked the Commanders last week.
As my great friend Jerome Bettis would always say about when I was doing something stupid, you won't make that mistake again.
No, you won't. We've got good games this week, though. Maybe let's dive into the games, and we'll figure the rest out.
Before we get started, how far has the Commanders sunk from this time last year when they were the belle of the ball to now they're back being the Washington Commanders? The Washington Commanders that you and I, as friends, spend countless hours texting back and forth about how ridiculous they are.
I mean, think about this, Parney. Last offseason, Von Miller signed with this team because he thought it would give him a chance to win another Super Bowl. And everybody reported, and it wasn't like, what is Von Miller on? Like, it was like, Von Miller, like, respected NFL guy, is going to this team because they're going places. We can't have nice things, Parney.
Do you think that the head football coach of the Commanders is on the hot seat?
Well, my guess is no, unless Cliff Kingsbury, he's the offensive coordinator, he's apparently getting interest from the Giants for their job. I think if he leaves, it's hard to justify letting Dan Quinn pick a new coach to work with Jaden, who might be a lame duck, and then after a year you got to go find a new coach. That's a lot for a young quarterback who is already struggling this year. I think his job security is tied to Cliff. Cliff not leaving.
I mean, as I said, I'm down here in Montgomery, Alabama. News travels rather slow down here sometimes, but apparently the Michigan job's open, too.
College football, still the best. Best possible outcome here, Parney, Lane Kiffin takes the job. No doubt about it.
Well, they were I just had ESPN on here in the room, and they were like, well, if Caleb DeBoer takes the Michigan job, what, Lane Kiffin might end up in Alabama. And I'm like, when will it stop? When will it stop? Please stop.
I think Lane Kiffin should try to coach every single team in the SEC. I think that would be a very very noble calling for him. He could just check off all the boxes.
Well, he's not going to have any statues of him anywhere, that's for sure.
No. Billy Napier to JMU, though. That's a name. That's a
get. I was surprised by that, obviously.
It cuts against their ethos, for sure.
But I think this is what I told somebody last night at the dinner I was at with Lou DeVella and some others. Billy Napier had a great experience in Louisiana, rising star, went to Florida, got bit by the Florida Gator, and he probably just wants to go somewhere and coach football.
I get what you're saying, and I do think JMU's in the Mike Rhodes hire cycle here, right, if we're tracking VCU. Like, Mike Rhodes was like, Mike Rhodes, he will stay here forever. What the fans needed that. They needed to hear a guy be like, I'll be here forever. I think JMU fans are like, I need a guy who says, I've seen the mountaintop, and I love being in Harrisonburg, Virginia, going to Buc-ee's to get my Beaver Nuggets in the morning, then coaching football. And it doesn't work like that, Parney. As we learned with Rhodesy, as we will learn with Napier, they're always striving. You're always climbing.
Yeah, there's nothing stable in college football, right?
No.
Nothing.
No, and I mean, shoot, ACC, you know, they got Notre Dame now saying they want out. They got, Duke is your ACC champion. They don't get an automatic bid. Like, does Virginia Tech need to try to get out of the ACC? Like, it's insanity.
Well, I mean, you and I off the air always talk about how college sports is so different now. Growing up in the ACC back in the 70s and 80s when the ACC was the premier basketball conference in the country. It's not anything. I mean, Stanford and Southern and SMU are not ACC teams. I'm sorry.
And you know, we talked to Eddie Mack over at VCU. Like, the only constant's going to be change. It's a different job now than 5 years ago, than 5 years before that. These guys keep asking Congress to intervene, not Eddie Mack, but you know, these presidents. Right. Congress, make us. If you're begging Congress to fix your problem, that you're down bad. Is what I'll say about that.
That's for sure. Yeah. That's for sure.
You want to pick some football games?
Well, I mean, apparently the segments are into two buddies just talking about what's wrong with the world. But yeah, let's do it.
I love this segment. It's one of my favorites every week. Bills, Patriots. This is the Bills' chance to get back in the AFC title race. If they don't, the Patriots probably have it locked up. It's in New England. Bills are 1-point favorites.
Well, thank you for not telling everybody what my record was last week.
Nobody knows. We'll lock it in the vault. We'll throw it away. On the season, Parney, you are 34-35-2. You are exactly one game under 500. So,
you know,
this is a get-right week.
I'm still hanging right there with Stanford Steve.
This is your get-right week. I feel it.
Buffalo Bills are going to beat the New England Patriots.
And they're a good team. They'll show it eventually. Here's another good team that you picked foolishly last week. The Kansas City Chiefs are hosting the Los Angeles Chargers. The Chiefs may or may not be out of it. I think they're out of it. Everybody's drawn up the path for them to get back in it. The Chiefs are 6-point favorites against the Chargers. If that's not a throw the lure out line, I don't know what is.
I thought you were going to say 2.5. I thought you were going to say 3. 6 points is a lot. But for the last 3 weeks on this show, I've been saying the NFL wants the Kansas City Chiefs in the playoffs. And they're going to do whatever they can, hopefully, to make the Kansas City Chiefs and T-Swift make the playoffs. But they're yesterday's news, buddy. I'm going with the Chargers.
Yeah, six is so – like, we're back into this is a trap territory now at six. You picked the Commanders last week. You own that. Will you pick the Commanders this week? If you do, you get 2.5 points in New York against the Giants.
If they were playing JMU this week, I would pick JMU.
I would too.
I mean, I was at our new house in Richmond watching the game on my new 98-inch television screen, which I'm very, 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 very proud of. And I just said to Tanya, why did I pick the Commanders over and over again? Finally, she's like, do you need to call your therapist? Like, what's going on here?
Is 88 inches too big, or are we still searching for too big?
It's not 98 inches, and it's perfect. I said to somebody at the airport yesterday, we were talking about Washington and the Giants. I think it was Lou DeBella, actually. I think the Giants are going to win that game outright, and I'll give Washington 2.5 points.
There you go. All right, some good games at 4:25 this week. It's the double game of the week where Fox and CBS both have one. We got Packers Broncos, pair of really good teams. Packers are 2-point favorites in Denver.
Do you think that could be the game we're watching in February?
I think there's as good a chance as any. I mean, throw a dart right now. You got Packers Rams. I refuse to write off the Eagles, Parney. You're not going to catch me doing it. They're good enough to win 3 playoff games, even though they all hate each other.
I mean, they're reminding me of the New York Yankees back in the 70s when they won championships, but every day there was a fight in the locker room.
Yep, that's exactly it.
Except in a typical 2025 form, it's all mental warfare, not physical warfare with the Eagles. I think the Denver Broncos, give me the Denver Broncos in that game. I think they're at home. It's going to be cold. It's typical John Elway-type Denver Bronco weather. And I think they're going to beat the Pack.
John Facenda calling the game in the snows of Denver. You've got L.A. in the other one. It'll be nice and warm in L.A. Lions-Rams. Lions are on the outside looking in, Parney. And unlike the Commanders, they've actually had a good season. They've just lost some tough, close games to good teams. That's been a great division. Lions need a win to get back in this. Rams holding off the Niners in the NFC West. Rams at home, 5.5-point favorites.
I'm going with the Lions in that one. Not only do I think that they're a legitimate contender, and like you said, they're fighting for survival. But two of their stars are on Nazi Sackers fantasy football team, and we're in first place, and we start the playoffs. So come on, St. Brown. Come on, Jahrir Gibbs.
You don't think they're going to have a little something for Matthew Stafford there defensively as well? I think they'll be ready for him.
I think so, too. I think that'll be a good game. You're right. You just changed my travel plans for the weekend. those are such good 425 games. I might have to get in the car on Sunday morning and travel down to Sandbridge Island restaurant bar to watch the 425 games.
I do. The one victim in all this is the 1 o'clock game. We've had some dud 1 o'clock windows this year to create these good Thursdays and Sunday nights and Sunday 425s and Mondays. Like, I feel like 1 o'clock's as bad as it's ever been, but everything else is amazing.
And that's okay, because 1 o'clock, you're still just, you got to get your chores done around the house. You're not missing much. It's background noise for me.
He's a man of the people. I love it. Parney, safe travels back from Montgomery. Excited to see you back here in the RVA. We got one more week before we shut this thing down for Christmas. We got to get you back in the win column this week.
Yeah, we'll be all right this week. And remember, nothing stuffs a stocking like a flying squirrel. It was great. I actually yesterday wore a new logo Flying Squirrels hoodie, and I got probably no less than like 12 compliments just from complete strangers that thought it was cool. So make sure you go see my friend Jackson over at the Squirrel's Nest and get and load up your stocking with Flying Squirrels.
Is Nutsy a little angrier now? Like, I feel like Nutsy's got a little edge to him. Like, y'all are playing for blood this year.
Nutsy is a superhero of all proportions, and he's out to save the world.
Yeah, I think he's going to do it. The new logo's got, you know, Nutsy's got some brawn to him, too. Nutsy's ripped. That's what I know about Nutsy.
Yeah, the Christmas parade was awesome, too, bud. So thanks to everyone who put that together for our community, the Squirrels. We had a great time walking the parade. It was just amazing to see the love that this community has for the Flying Squirrels, and it's one of my favorite days of the year, and it didn't disappoint this year.
Yeah, that's a really fun one. All right, Parney, we'll catch you next week. We'll wish you happy holidays then. Until then, safe travels.
Have fun. Go nuts, everybody.
All right, he's Parney. We're back to wrap this thing up after this. You're listening to 910 The Fan at 105.1 FM.